We are back. You're listening to You Would Think, the Philly Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Collington, and joining me, as always, it's Mike Gilletto.
What's up, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
How are you doing? You good. Sound a little somber there.
I'm tired, man. I was in Boston all week. We'll have that vlog in coming for you, by the way. And, you know, I left real early tomorrow because on Friday, the girlfriend and I made a last-minute decision that we wanted to go to the Flyers game on Saturday.
There you go.
I regret that decision, but we'll get into that.
Yeah, no, I was talking about the somber week because of what the Flyers did.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
Two games in two different states, 250 miles apart. I watched them lose a combined 9-1.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll get into that. But first, you can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington and Mike at Mike_Gilletto. You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcast, LastWordOnSports.com, our YouTube page, and Spotify.
There you go.
Yeah. And, you know, we're still working on some of the behind the scenes stuff with Spotify, but, you know, we're getting there and
we're learning here.
Yeah. We're kind of taking this process, you know, we're learning it.
Right.
So one step at a time. But all right, let's get into it. Just honestly, Flyers were disappointing.
This team stinks. They're on the ice. Product just isn't matching what we thought this team was going to be.
Right. Well, and I want to talk about that. Okay.
Okay.
Let's think rationally about what's different.
We're in Philadelphia. Nothing's ever rational.
I know. But people are, you know, the sky is falling.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. Based on this week, it was some bad hockey. It's some really bad hockey. I remember 2012 when they finished last in the league and they were closer and more competitive in games like this. So I don't know what's going on.
Well, even last year when they lost 10 games in a row, at least they were all close. So, you know, some bounces just didn't go their way.
Right, they got points in, I think, five of them.
Yeah, like here, they're just, so far, the first 3-4 weeks of the season, they look outclassed.
Yeah, and specifically the games I was at, I was in Boston on Thursday night, and then I was in the Wells Fargo for the Islanders game on Saturday. And there were stretches where they looked really good. Like, really good. Like, legitimately, genuinely good teams. They outplayed Boston for a large chunk of the second period.
I disagree with that.
I'm not saying the whole game.
No, I disagree with because they didn't really get any quality. And this is kind of what they've been. They don't get any quality chances. Like, yeah, they're going to outshoot people. So, the stats are a little unbalanced in that way. And
right. Well, and I said that after the game. I was talking with some Bruins fans. And I said, we outplayed you. We dominated zone time. We had the puck for minutes on minutes. You know, it seemed like minutes on minutes in the Boston end. Flyers seemed like they were in the Boston end for 13 of the 20 minutes in the second period. But everything was perimeter. Everything was passing. And I don't know if Boston did a good job of locking it down or if the Flyers did a poor job of seeing shooting opportunities or if they just weren't moving the puck effectively enough. But
I've said it before. This is Hextall's system.
I know.
Where he just wants to get all the perimeter shots. They don't get any sort of inside scoring. They don't get any sort of high-quality shots. So, I mean, like 50 or 55% of their shots come from defensemen.
Right.
Like, and that's just not a recipe for success.
And just a little qualifier for the audience. We're aware of the problems with the coach. And we're aware of the rising tide against him. We're going to talk about it because it'll come up in the course of conversation, you know, if that really is the problem for this team. But we're not going to harp on it. We're not going to beat the drum. You've seen it everywhere. You've seen it on Twitter. You've read it in articles. Everybody on earth, you know, everybody in the Philadelphia area is bashing Dave Hextall. For the record, I'm not ready to call it quits yet. Mike still is, of course. But we're not going to hammer in on it like a lot of people seem to be doing, because it is more than that. If you want to assign some of the problem to the coach, that's fine. Even if you want to give him the majority of the blame, but it's not all him. It can't be.
It's a lot of it is him, and like I said, it's a system number one first and foremost. But again, I know you say you don't want to harp on it too much,
right?
And not even really Hextall being on the hot seat. Like, when do we start putting Hextall there? Because in the offseason, his big thing was, all right, we're taking the next step. We plan to be competitive. We, you know, we want to be a cup contender, essentially.
Well,
and so far, we just haven't seen that.
He's going to get a free pass because what's the move they made that prompted Hextall to say that?
The JVR move.
Right. So I'm not saying it's right. I'm not even saying it's accurate. I'm saying he's going to get a free pass.
Well, yeah, but you also,
because his signing hasn't impacted this team at all.
For sure. But you also see, I mean, a lot of people said that this team should have been better just addition by subtraction.
Right.
You know, you lost Filppula.
Right. Well,
you
lost Manning. That's what I wanted to get into when I started the show. So who are we down? We are down Brandon Manning, who's playing in Chicago.
I thought you said Filppula. My bad.
Val Filppula, who's playing in Long Island.
Yep.
And Matt Reed, who is up and down between Minnesota and their AHL team.
Iowa, I believe there.
Yeah. Did we lose anybody else? Not really.
No.
Okay, so you're down Filppula, Manning, Reed. You're up Vorobyev, and we will talk about the call-ups today. So right now it's Nick Obey-Kubel and Tyrell Goldborn. You're up JVR and then rookies, right? Nick Obey-Kubel. And I guess technically Christian Follin, but Christian Follin for Brandon Manning is a pretty...
I'd actually personally take Brandon
Manning.
I think he's a better player than Christian Follin.
But listen, if they're sitting in the press box, it doesn't matter which one's better.
Sure.
Right? That's plan is for them to both sit in the press box.
Is it though? We've seen a hell of a lot of Follin.
Andrew McDonald's not 100%. There's no way.
Even when Andrew McDonald is 100%, is he really ever 100%?
No, but he plays.
Yeah.
Whether he should or not,
right.
We all know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
But he does literally play. He gets the minutes if
he's
healthy.
Does.
So, regardless, it's tough to put 100%. You can't put 100% of the blame on the coach. Okay, you can put a large chunk. You can put system, et cetera, et cetera. At a certain point, your players have to want to win.
Players got... I've never been effort guy. Like, I don't want to say that they don't want to win. These are
professional... Did you watch the third period on Saturday?
No, I understand.
They did not want to win that game.
You can't say they didn't want to win. They're professional athletes. You want to win. Yeah, no athlete goes, hey, I don't really feel like winning today. Like, there you want to win. They just don't show any pride. Like, pride's the perfect word to describe it. They just haven't shown that. Yeah. Like, I don't want to say they don't want to win.
And
I've never been that guy.
You can't quit on your team. Team got down 3-0. Scored to make it 3-1. And then the second New York scored the fourth goal, the entire team quit.
Right.
The entire team, with the exception of Scott Laughton, who had a good game, Wayne Simmonds, who gets angry when the team gets down late. I will give him credit for that. And Ivan Provorov.
Provorov was not great.
He's getting better.
He's
coming back.
One game.
He's coming back.
I mean, he played decent in the Islanders game.
He played well in the Boston game.
He played okay. He wasn't great. Okay. He's still missing a lot of assignments in his own zone. Like, I've never seen a team so bad in their own zone. Just everybody. There was a few goals in the Islanders game and the Boston game where goals just came straight from defensive turnovers.
Yeah.
And then blown coverages. Like, it's just brutal. Like,
a lot of that was Andrew McDonald.
There was one that was Provorov in the Islanders. One or two that was Provorov in the Islanders game.
Yeah.
They're just, for some reason, they just don't know how to, like, have possession with the puck in their own zone. They can't get it out. They can't make clears. They can't break out the puck. It's brutal. In their own zone, I've never seen anything this horrific.
Yeah, and I noticed during the Bruins game that the Bruins were very, very aggressive on the penalty kill. When the Flyers had the power play, they would do that thing where they come back in their own zone and they kind of pass it around a little bit to start setting up the slingshot. And Boston was just there. Boston had two guys on the blue line and encroaching in on the zone, and the Flyers had no answer.
Right. Well, they're better coached, but, you know.
Sure, but how much of the Flyers' problem is specialty teams?
Yeah.
Penalty kill is, what, 29th in the league?
Yep.
Power play isn't much better.
The penalty kill's been bad for a while, though, so something's got to change in that regard, whether it's LaPierre getting fired.
I think LaPierre's going to... Whether he deserves to be or not, I think if he'll be the first coaching staff member to go.
The penalty kill has just been dreadful for 4 years now.
It's bad. Yeah. For a while it was Chris Vandeveldi and Pierre-Edouard Belmar, who you don't love, but they were decent penalty killers.
They were fine.
But, you know, now there's just no
trash.
Excuse.
No, it's awful.
Sean Couturier is a great defensive center and always has been. Scott Laughton is very good at this point. I'd be willing to call him very good in the penalty kill role.
I mean, when do you expect things to get better when you're not going to change anything?
I agree.
Like, you hear it all the time. That's a definition of insanity.
Right.
So,
Well, and on that point, I think now is a good time to mention the call-ups. Vorobyev was sent down to the Phantoms. Called up were Goldborn and Obey Kubel.
Yeah.
I think Nick Obey Kubel is basically just Vorobyev at this point, and he's going to fill kind of the same role.
Yeah. Yes and no. I think Obey Kubel is more of a in-your-face kind of guy, where this team really hasn't shown that through the first few weeks of the season.
Well, I think that's why you called up Tyrell Goldborn.
I think it's both of them.
Right.
I think if they wanted more speed, they would have added a guy like, or more skill, they would have added like Twarinski.
Right.
Or somebody like
Tyrell
that.
Tyrell Goldborn is a less talented Wayne Simmonds.
Extremely less talented.
Right. And that's a good thing, because I would rather Wayne Simmonds be scoring the goals and then be the one in the penalty box. Right. So if Goldborn can come out there and lay the big hit, if you remember his first shift last year, he laid out Alex Pietrangelo and it led to a goal.
Mm-hmm.
It was still an absolute travesty that he didn't get an assist on that play, but he never touched the puck.
Yep.
But he got an unofficial assist. Let's be honest.
Right, exactly.
He generated that whole play.
But Obe Kubel is a guy that's in your face, too. I mean, he's had a decent amount of suspensions down in the AHL.
He reminds me a little bit of Braden Schenn.
A little bit.
A little bit.
He racks up the penalty minutes. So he's a physical guy that's going to be an in-your-face agitator kind of guy. So they definitely want to add more physicality to this team.
Because
they just don't have heart anymore.
Soft. Like,
they just don't, yeah, they really do.
They have looked soft.
Yep.
Again, Wayne Simmonds gets fired up in the third period when the team's down by three. And that's great.
But you expect that from Wayne Simmonds.
I'd rather see it then than never at all.
Right.
But Wayne, where's that in the first period?
Right. Well,
where are the hits that generate the chances?
Yeah.
Where is, you know, the hit that generates the turnover that your team comes down and scores on?
Right.
Like,
not just because you're pissed off.
Right. You're just mad because you're down two in the third.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, do it in the first when you have a chance of actually turning the game around.
Well, they've played, the Flyers play what, 11 games?
Yeah. Four and seven.
I think 10 of the 11, they've given up the first goal.
Yeah. They've also scored two goals in the last nine periods.
Yep.
That's not good.
No. They got outscored, what, 9-1, you said? Yeah, they've outscored 9-1 in the last
two games. And they got outscored 9-1.
I mean, so they're not scoring and they're not keeping the puck out of their own net.
No, you can't.
So,
like, and the Islanders beat you 6-1.
Yeah, they embarrassed you on your home ice.
The Islanders put six on you.
Yep.
That's unacceptable.
Yeah,
the Islanders aren't very good. They're just not.
No, they're not.
Like,
I mean, you saw how bad the Islanders were last year, and that was with John Tavares. This is that team. John Tavares.
Yeah, and you're up Leo Komarov and Val Filppula, who are middle six guys at absolute best.
Right.
It's not a good Islanders team. And the fact that they embarrassed you in your home building, I've seen two home games this year. Okay. 8-2 against San Jose, 6-1 against the Islanders.
All right, listen, it's starting to become your own fault. I'm not spending a cent to watch this team play.
Well,
it's just a bad product.
Turns out we picked a bad year to get a partial season ticket.
Play. Yeah, you damn straight you did.
Like, I have nine games left or eight games left, and
this is just a terrible product they're putting on the ice.
Honestly.
It just is. It's just an embarrassing product.
I've never wanted my money back before. But the three Flyers games I've seen live this regular season, I feel like they owe me my money back.
Yeah.
I mean, San Jose was a train wreck. San Jose was awful from the first period.
Oh, those were the three home games you've been
those
to?
Those are the three. Yeah.
How many home games
the
have you been to?
The three games I've been to, period.
So 8-2, 3-0,
and
6-1.
Yeah.
Stop going to games. Maybe you're the reason.
Listen, they're 4-7. That's not me.
Well, you know, without those three games, you know.
I expect
4-4.
I know you made a joke about it on Twitter about closed door meetings and etc. But I really hope that team management stepped up and team leadership.
The joke stepped up
after this game.
Right.
They're going on a West Coast swing. If you're gonna get your season back on track, you can do it. You can still do it.
I mean, yeah,
I'm not giving
it's
up.
It's super early.
If you win, I'm not saying they're going to, but if you win 3 out of 4,
that's a big if, though.
I know. And it's, I think it's Anaheim, LA,
no, I think it's
Arizona.
And San Jose's out there, too.
And San Jose?
Yeah.
I'm going to look this up just to be sure.
I think you start with San Jose, and then I think you, I forget what it is. I think it's the three California teams, and then
I know you
Anaheim,
had Arizona last.
Or not Anaheim, Arizona, yeah.
Yeah. It's so. Anaheim first on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
L.A. second on Thursday, San Jose third on Saturday.
Okay.
And then you finish the West Coast swing next Monday in Arizona. But if you can snag three of those games, which is going to be tough.
It is. I mean, San Jose, we know how good they are. Right. Eric Carlson doesn't even look himself yet. So
I think you can beat LA because they're not particularly good this season so far.
No, they've been a disappointment.
Same with Anaheim.
Anaheim's been solid.
Half of Anaheim's team is in the retirement home.
But the other half is super young. Maxime Comtois is lighting the world on fire.
Playing a really good hockey early in the season.
Yeah.
And then Arizona, you know, they kind of know what they are, but they're slowly getting better.
They just beat Tampa like 7-1 yesterday. Right.
I think you can win three of those games, but you need 60-minute efforts.
And
you need 60-minute efforts.
Right.
I need effort.
Yeah, but that's been the same storyline the past couple years is, hey, they can't play a full 60 minutes.
Yeah.
But back to you said the thing about the joke I made on Twitter, and for anybody who doesn't follow, me
at Mike_Deletto,
it's a fact that it seems like every time they get beat 5-0 or 6-1 or whatever, they have these closed door meetings.
I haven't heard about that this season.
It hasn't been this season. And my joke was basically like, hey, they lose their luster after when you have two closed door meetings a month. Practically, it seems like.
I understand, but I don't think I've seen one this year. I don't know what it is. I feel like all this team needs is a jolt. I don't know what that jolt is. I don't know if that's Fire Lappy. I don't know if it's like maybe it's time to trade Wayne Simmons.
Is it?
Listen, this is not me hating on Wayne Simmons. This is not me taking shots at Wayne Simmons. But at a certain point, you have to send a message to this team.
I think that's a wrong message. Because
it depends on what you get back.
Who are you trading to Wayne Simmons to? Probably a contender.
Probably
a contender's not going to give up pieces for this year. A contender's going to want to give up future pieces. If you trade Wayne Simmons for future pieces, the guys in the locker room are saying, "Hey, the coach in the front office gave up on us. They're looking for the future." So that sends an adverse message.
Would you trade Wayne Simmons, Philippe Myers, and a second round pick to Toronto for William Nylander? Because if you think about it from Toronto's perspective, you get Wayne Simmons, who's on a great deal and is signed. You get Philippe Myers, who's a great young defensive prospect. You get a second-round draft pick that could be a high one if the Flyers keep playing they're currently playing. And then you give up a guy who's not even signed to your team. Imagine Wayne Simmons playing with John Tavares.
Right.
Imagine Wayne Simmons playing with Austin Matthews. Yeah,
he might not even play there either.
He might.
He'll probably play with Kadri on the third line.
No.
But... Well, because they're stacked over there.
It doesn't even matter, right?
I don't know. I'm not as high on Nylander as you are. I think he's extremely soft in the corners and doesn't really do anything.
Okay, fine.
I think he's a soft player, and I think he's benefited. He's had 260-point seasons, and I think he's benefited from playing with Austin Matthews.
Do you make that trade?
I'm trying to break it down here.
Right.
It sounds like he wants a $7 or $8 million a year. Contract, and I'm not going to give that to him. So if I'm the Flyers, I probably don't do that.
I don't think he would do it for a bridge deal. I think if you give him 5 years and let him get right to the cusp of UFA, if you buy zero UFA years from him, I think you can get him at 5, 5.5, 6.
I don't know.
I think he's good enough for that.
Maybe.
He's got 61 points each of the last two seasons.
Maybe, but we literally just talked about the team and its lack of physicality, and I don't know if that... A player that's soft is going to really add much to this team, especially when Sean Couturier doesn't look like Sean Couturier from last year. And I saw this coming. I even called that he's not going to have the same sort of season he did last year. Where does he get these points? He's not going to be playing with an Austin Matthews here. Nobody on this roster is an Austin Matthews.
No, but it might solve your problem of who plays on the first line. Because over the last couple of games, it's been Konechny, it's been Voracek, it's been Simmons.
Because nobody's done anything and... I think she's trying to switch things up and kind of catch lightning in a bottle, in a sense.
Right. No, I get that.
So, I mean, I don't know what Nylander really adds to this team. I mean, he's another Konechny type, essentially.
I think he's better than Travis Konechny. I think he's more talented.
I don't know. I think Konechny could get 60, 70 points easily if he played next to Austin Matthews.
I mean, maybe.
I mean, I think Austin Matthews is... I think you're underrating the value that Matthews has to that team.
Oh, no, I'm not underrating that at all. Austin Matthews is an absolute stud, and he left Saturday night's game, and if he misses any sort of significant time, that's a huge blow for them.
Yeah, for sure.
See, we need somebody who shoots the puck.
Yeah, and surprisingly, like I know I rip on Jake a lot. He still turns the puck over way too much in the worst areas of the ice, but he's shooting the puck a lot more than he usually does.
Yeah,
so that's nice to see. He's almost becoming a shoot first kind of guy.
I honestly think he's had a really good season.
Yeah, he's played well.
Under it's low key because the team has been so bad.
And he still turns the puck over in the worst spots in the world that he possibly could. Sure. But he's doing that trying to make plays. So, but yeah, he's shooting the puck a lot more than he usually does. So right. that's a good sign. But Claude, yeah, needs to shoot the puck more. Konechny needs to shoot the puck more. I mean, a lot of guys just they try to make the pretty play and they try to just give it back to the defenseman and let them shoot a perimeter shot. But again, that part to me comes down to coaching. They're just not creative enough in the offensive zone.
Right. Honestly, I'm looking at William Nylander's kind of in-depth stats, not advanced stats.
I was gonna say
no, not advanced stats. But I'm talking about things like shooting percentage and
okay.
Real stats that matter.
Stats that matter. Hashtag stats that matter.
All right. Last year, more takeaways than giveaways.
Okay.
That's good to see out of a player like that.
Yeah.
Took over 300 faceoffs, which, I mean, he was a center in juniors, has been a wing in the NHL, but it's nice to have a guy who, when your center gets kicked out, is decent. He won 51.4% of them.
Yeah, but he wouldn't have much of a role here because you said if he came
Fine,
here, he'd be
on
the
second line.
I was say, well, you said he'd be on the first line. But right. If Kutz get kicked out, it's Giroux taking a face.
Okay, but imagine, first line, Kutz, Giroux, Konechny, whoever. Second line, Nylander, Patrick Voracek. Third line, Van Riemsdyk, Lawton, whoever. At that point, the rest of your bottom six doesn't matter. But Nylander...
I mean, it does matter, because we see now that... Okay. We thought our top six was great now, but...
Right.
I mean, they still have struggled, like the rest of the team, so...
Honestly, Lindblom has not had a great season.
He's been fine.
He hasn't had a great season.
He hasn't been awful. He just hasn't been great. And, like, I think the expectations were a little high on Lindblom, for whatever reason.
I think part of that... I think you were guilty of that also. To some extent.
Not as much as the rest of the
No, but you were high
fan
on him.
Base. I was high on him as a second or third line winger. A lot of people thought he was, the next coming of Johnny Gaudreau, where he's a late round pick that just pans out. Right. And that's not the case. Like the reason he fell in the draft was because his skating just wasn't up to par. He's not as fast as the other guys. He's worked on speed a lot in development and he's gotten faster and quicker on his feet.
Yeah.
But he's still a step down from the elite guys in the NHL. And you're seeing that a little bit. And he's still got to get used to the speed of the game and, maybe he gets better throughout the year.
Yeah, I wonder if he's the next one to get sent down.
Yeah, I was surprised that against the Islanders, they didn't scratch him instead of, I think they scratched Wheel. I was surprised they didn't scratch Lindblom.
Wheel had a really, really poor game.
Wheel's been playing fine. But the problem is he's taking a lot of bad penalties, a lot of stick infractions. Just move your feet.
Yeah. And it's almost lazy.
Yeah.
And I don't understand where that's coming from because that's never been who he's been. He's always been a hustler and a good player, getting himself in the right spot and, getting to the areas he needs to get to and playing a clean game. And it's disappointing to see because Wheel can do so much better.
Yeah, he could.
What do you think actually happens first? I'm not asking what you want to happen. I'm asking what you think actually happens. A trade. B, the firing of an assistant coach. Or C, head coach firing.
Assistant coach.
Okay. You don't think a trade?
No, because in this part of the season, trades don't happen all that often. It's very hard for trades to work.
Matthew Shane got traded around this time last season.
It's a different situation. You had a rebuilding team.
Sure.
Well, not necessarily because Colorado traded them, then got better somehow.
Right.
Which is weird, yeah.
And then Ottawa acquired him and hit the tank.
It was also a different situation because he wanted out of Colorado so badly. So they were just looking to get rid of him forever. So it's a different situation. But again, it trades, and it's a... trades rarely happen this at this part of the season.
Well, and it doesn't necessarily
mean... Hextall's...
It doesn't necessarily mean one of them's going to happen soon. None of them could happen for a month.
That's true. But Hextall's also been patient with his roster, usually.
Yeah.
He usually doesn't make any... Like, when's the last in-season trade he's made? Can you name one?
No.
I mean, trading away Luke Shen and Vinny LeCavalier, maybe?
Right. That was a good one.
That wasn't the regular season, right?
No, but think about it.
So I mean, and the penalty kill has been bad for a while, yeah. And that's what Lappy handles. So I could see him kind of being the scapegoat here.
I could see that happening. Either way, the Flyers start this West Coast swing. There's 8 points on the line. 5 is like the minimum to crawl people off the edge here, because the fan base is starting to tiptoe towards the edge.
Yeah.
Some have jumped off.
Yeah. I mean, it's turning into an embarrassment what they put on the ice. I mean, and then they give us Gritty, which apparently has just been this giant distraction.
Maybe that's the problem. What's the team's record since Gritty was introduced?
4-7.
What's the team's record since Brandon Manning was traded? Or since Brandon Manning left in free agency?
4-7.
Maybe Brandon Manning was the glue that held this team together.
Apparently.
You talk about Andrew McDonald as a glue guy. Maybe it was actually Brandon Manning all along.
But it's just been embarrassing. And that's really the only word I could use to describe what this team's been.
The nice thing about this West Coast swing is I can go to bed before the game starts.
Yeah, so you don't have to watch this train wreck that happens.
All right, let's get out of Flyers territory because it's pretty depressing. It really honestly is.
Yeah, it is, 100%.
We're actually...
A little bit before you go into that, a little bit of good news. Not even good news, but let's take a trip down memory lane, and this is completely unrelated to the Flyers. So we're recording this on Sunday, but tomorrow, Monday, October 29th,
is 10 years since the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series.
Yeah, you stole it from me.
Yeah, I sure did.
There you go. Ten years.
We're going to talk about the World Series in a minute, and we'll maybe touch on those 08 Phillies. But first... We bring you the return of 7 or 6 seconds, where we talk about the Philadelphia 76ers in 7 or 6 seconds. Go ahead, Mike.
The Sixers went 1-2 last week, losing to the Pistons and the Bucks while beating the Hornets.
More wins than the Flyers had. All right, moving on.
That's true. They're clearly the better team then. We should jump behind the Sixers bandwagon.
So the World Series, we're currently 4 games in at time of recording. 3-1 Boston.
Yeah.
So Boston wins the first 2 games in Boston pretty convincingly. They weren't particularly close. Boston just outplayed them.
Yep.
And then Friday night, they were having so much fun, they decided to play 2 games. They played the longest game in MLB postseason history.
Yep.
7 hours and 22 minutes, 18 innings.
Absurd.
Before the Dodgers finally walked it off in the bottom of the 18th inning.
Yep, Muncy.
Unreal. I am so glad that I did not stay up for that game.
I didn't realize it was going on that late, or I might have turned it on.
Because I woke up at 4:30 on Saturday morning to leave to get to Philly for the game.
The game was barely over at that point.
I know. I woke up, and the MLB was still retweeting stuff about the game having just ended, I think
it ended at 3:45.
Yeah. It was like an hour prior.
Yeah.
It was unreal. And then Saturday night, they play game 4, like... 12 hours after game 3 ends, and it's a stellar game.
It was a good game.
This series is so much fun. I think Boston's gonna finish it in 5.
Yeah I do too.
And if not, they're definitely gonna finish it in 6.
Yeah, the interesting thing is game 5, they're actually pushing Sale back. A lot of people expected Sale to start today, but they're pushing it back to game 6 for obviously if necessary. So they're starting Price Game 5.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I heard. I don't know if it's still the case.
Interesting.
That's what I heard last night.
That Sale was starting game 5.
That's what people expected them to do.
I didn't realize that had changed.
No, hold on.
Maybe you want to give Chris Sale a chance to win it at home? Maybe? But that's... The playoffs are so weird when it comes to pitchers, because pitchers who all season have been on 5 days rest, all of a sudden it's like, you're going to pitch game 5, and then if we go to game 7, you're also going to pitch game 7.
Right.
You get two and a half days rest. But also, coaches are less likely to let their bullpens go, to let their starters go.
David Price versus Clayton Kershaw. And Clayton Kershaw, I mean, he's struggled in the playoffs. I mean, that's just the type of pitcher he's always been. Yeah,
right. He's kind of got that reputation of not really being a big name guy or a big lights, time guy, yeah. a big time guy, right? When the lights are on, he tends to shrivel a little bit.
Yeah.
Now, if he comes out tonight and pitches 8 scoreless, that's gone. That disappears.
I don't know if it's gone.
No, it disappears.
Because, I mean, even a blind squirrel and a broken clock, I could go into all that.
8 scoreless in an elimination game of the World Series. If your team wins, if the Dodgers win a 1-0 game and Kershaw pitches 8 scoreless, that disappears.
Right.
Disappears because when it matters the absolute most, he did it.
It's a big ask, though.
No, I agree.
Because, I mean, the Red Sox lineup is...
Nah.
I mean, the Red Sox lineup is
lethal. It takes a significant hit in the American League ballpark, or in the National League ballpark. Nah. Benintendi rode the bench for games 3 and 4. I believe he made appearances in both games as a pinch hitter and then as a defensive, you know.
Right.
But either way, losing him's a big hit.
He's
fact that they've gone with Jackie Bradley Jr.
He's a better player, in my opinion.
He's a better defensive player. He's a better defensive player.
But Mookie hasn't really been all that
Mookie
impressive.
Has not been Mookie.
No. Pierce has had a couple ginormous hits.
Yep.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I know Puig hit that big home run game four.
Yeah.
But then the Red Sox marched back and just kept, you know, leaning into him a little
bit.
Yeah,
the Dodgers jumped out to a 4-0 lead, and then the next inning, the Sox were like, okay, we'll score 3.
Yeah, and then the Sox scored 5 in the 9th.
Right. Yeah.
And then things started to get interesting in the bottom of the 9th when the Dodgers hit a two-run home run with 0 outs.
Right.
They got it to 3.
Yeah, it was never done.
No.
Right? And that's one of the things I like about baseball, because in hockey, if you're down by 2 goals with 15 seconds left, you're done.
Right.
If in football, if you're down by 21 with 1.5 minutes left, you're done. In basketball, if you're down by 30 with 1.5 minutes left, you're probably done.
Well, 1.5 minutes in basketball is like 4 hours. I know. But, you know.
But in baseball, if you're the home team, you can score 25 runs in the bottom of the 9th.
Yeah.
Right? Anything can happen.
There's no clock.
There is no clock.
Yeah.
So I do like that about baseball, and it, especially in the playoffs, especially in the World Series, anything can happen.
Yeah. I still think they have to do something with how long games take. And obviously the 18-inning games,
there's
an anomaly.
There's talk about a pitch clock.
They have one.
Yeah, there's talk about shortening it.
Yeah, and making they got to do something else. I think the challenges have gotten too much.
See, there's only so much you can do. The only way to make games shorter is make it a 7-inning game. And they're never going to do that.
Yeah, they'll never do that.
Baseball purists, they're never going to allow anything that significantly shortens the game.
No. And
nor should they, really.
They shouldn't.
If you're a baseball purist, you don't want them to shorten it, really.
I don't have big of a problem with how long the game is. My big problem is, and it's different in the playoffs because the playoffs are a whole other animal, but like during the regular season, I just want the game itself to be more entertaining. So take away the shift. Just do that, and it'll be a more entertaining game.
I don't necessarily think that makes the game more entertaining.
It puts people on base more.
Nah, whatever. At that point, there's an argument for just start the inning with a runner on second.
That's completely different because you still got a hit.
No, it doesn't really change that much.
Sure it does.
If your pitcher's throwing hot and throws, you know, gets 3 straight outs anyway, it doesn't matter if there's a guy on second or not. Same with the shift. If, you know, they shift over, boom, you get the out. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't like the shift, though. It takes away way too many hits.
Sure. Either way, it's not changing. Because
no, it's not. I've heard that being a possibility down the future. I just don't think it will.
Right. Baseball purists are the most rigid of any other sport. Any other sport, people are willing to kind of embrace change on some level. But if you try to touch baseball, you're messing with America's pastime.
Right.
And people don't want it. So anyway, that's our World Series talk. I think Boston's going to finish it. If they don't finish it tonight, they'll finish it game 6 in Boston.
Yeah, that's probably right.
I really don't see LA making a comeback here.
No, because then in game 6, we'll have Sale versus whoever LA decides to throw out there.
Right. Ryu, maybe?
Yeah, because he'll pitch game 4.
I think he pitched game 3.
No. Did he? He might have.
Yeah, I don't exactly remember, but regardless, Chris Sale is stellar. And Boston, even if you can hold Boston's offense back for one game, there's no way you can do it for the last three games of the series.
Right.
There's just no way. So that's our World Series talk. I still think Boston's going to finish it off pretty quick. I think you agree, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
And I mean, the games have been fun so far in the World Series, but people aren't going to remember it because it's going to end in five. They're going to say, hey, the Red Sox walked all over them.
No, they'll remember 18 innings.
Yeah, they'll remember that.
That's going to go down.
Yeah.
Especially in LA.
Kind of like game five last year with the Astros and Dodgers.
Yeah.
It looked 12 or 13 in a game, just home run after home run, back and forth. That was one of the best World Series games I've ever seen.
Well, the Phillies, speaking of the 08 Phillies, they still have the longest World Series game time-wise. Game five lasted about 49 hours.
It's true. I guess you're right.
So today was the day 10 years ago where we were all very confused about what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
Because the game got postponed. Game five, part one, got postponed the night 27th. Prior.
Yeah.
Right. And it was weird, man. The middle of the sixth inning.
Yep.
Tampa finished batting in the top of the sixth, tied the game, and then they called it.
Yeah.
Rain delay for a couple hours. They realized the rain wasn't getting better. They called the game, and it got made up 2 days later. It was a super weird circumstance. I remember...
No, they should have called it way before that. They shouldn't have even played the game. I mean, I remember, I think it was Jimmy Rollins that was sliding in the dirt when he was sliding into, like, second base, and it was just a puddle.
Yeah, he hydroplaned.
It was a pool. Yeah.
He hydroplaned.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a sloppy game.
It was a train wreck.
They probably should have called it way earlier, but...
They wanted to make it an official game.
Right.
They didn't want to have to start over.
And also, like, you kind of wanted the game to get tied up, because you don't want to hand the Phillies the World Series like that.
Nah, they wouldn't have, even if it wasn't tied.
Maybe.
They wouldn't have. There's maybe. No way they would have.
Right.
Or they just would have finished in the awful conditions. They just would have kept having a delay.
Yeah.
There's no way. They probably would have just postponed it, or, you know, done the same thing anyway. If the Phillies were up 2-1, it would have been the same thing. But
maybe, yeah. Regardless, 10 years. It's weird.
Yeah.
I remember where I was.
So do I.
You know?
Yeah.
So that was cool. And I think we just have one more story today. And that's the fact that the Eagles played this morning.
I forgot about the Eagles. They did play this morning. That's right.
And now we are recording after that game because I wanted to sleep in on the last day of my vacation. So I actually didn't watch
sleep
the game.
In? What's that? I don't know what that is anymore.
Listen, you made the choice to have a kid.
You made the choice to go on vacation and take a trip to Boston.
Knowing that I could sleep in afterward.
No responsibilities.
I made that choice on purpose.
Yeah, no responsibilities. I see how it is.
Exactly. It's wonderful. It's your fault for having a kid.
Yeah. But anyway, I woke up about 8:30, yep. 9 o'clock.
I'll be honest. I didn't watch a minute of the game
because
I was sleeping.
Oh,
I was
God.
Out.
You didn't miss much.
Right. I heard it was a pretty boring game. So.
That wasn't like necessarily boring. It's just the Jaguars. Like, they are what you expect.
Right.
So I woke up about 8:30, 9 o'clock,
they were.
Grabbed a cup of coffee, sat down in front of the TV and watched the game. But it was, the offense struggled early on, but they picked it up closer towards the middle of the game.
Yeah, how'd Carson
which
look?
Which was not, he had a couple interesting, was it the first play of the game? On the first drive, he had a sack fumble, which wasn't fun.
I believe he leads the league in fumbles.
I think he leads the league in turnovers. It might even be fumbles,
okay.
too.
Maybe among quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But regardless.
Josh Adams looked pretty good. I think he fumbled once or twice, so he's got to protect the ball a little better.
Right.
But he looks good.
How was the crowd?
It seemed a lot of Eagles. Like, it was sold out.
Right.
The place was sold out, and it seemed like a lot of Eagles. It seemed like a lot of fans traveled to this game.
That doesn't surprise me.
No.
Given what I've seen on social media this week, a lot of Eagles fans made the trek.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it would be a majority. Because I know Wembley is such a big stadium.
It's gigantic.
That if 20,000 Eagles fans go, it's a chunk.
Yeah.
But if they had a legitimate majority.
It seemed like a lot. I don't know if I'd say there were a majority. Right. I mean, I'm sure you had a lot of London. Like, I saw, like, Packers jerseys and stuff like that. And people just, NFL fans, that just wanted to watch the football
you
game.
Also
like, it's an event.
You also don't know how many of those Eagles fans traveled. Because
right.
any Eagles fan that lives in England probably went to this game.
Yeah.
Just because it's your only chance to see an Eagles game in person.
Yeah.
So I don't know how many of those Eagles fans travel.
I think there's a bar over there that's an Eagles bar. I think it's called Passion Oak Avenue.
There is. I saw the picture of that. Yeah, I think there's also one in like Dallas, Texas.
They're all over the place. There's probably some in California.
Yeah, I was up in Boston a couple years ago, and I watched the game at an Eagles bar
Boston. Yeah, but that, I mean, that's a little... It's cool to see it, you know, across the sea.
Yeah.
So
across the pond, I think is what you were going with.
Pond,
there.
Sea, ocean, Atlantic, whatever you want to call it.
The ocean is not a sea.
Sea, ocean, pond, whatever. But neither is the pond.
All right. That's enough. We are now mumbling and babbling. Let's get out of here. You can find the show on Twitter at YWT Podcast. You can find me at K Collington, Mike at Mike_Giletto.
I got to check my fantasy score.
Oh, God. He couldn't make it through the outro.
No, I couldn't. Hold on.
You can also find the show on Facebook, Instagram, Podbean, iTunes, Google Podcasts, LastWordOnSports.com, YouTube, and Spotify. I'm so supremely disappointed with my co-host right now.
What did I do? Tariq Cohen's having a big game.
I'm literally wrapping up.
I know, but I had this show.
This is the dumbest thing you've ever said.
I said, well, I don't know. I've said a lot of dumb
shit. This is as bad as Lindros. We'll see you next week.